This meeting is now being recorded.
To content the God in the special power. You see, light comparing to thousand. So that is why, you see, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. This was word power came out of the mouth of God. So Master said, there is God, who is the maker of all creation, universe, who is the controller of our universe and permeating all this. What is all this? Is all manifestation of God. When we begin to see our own self, when our inner eyes open. And who can open our inner eyes? Some word made flesh. Who can light a candle? A candle which is already lit. So, scientists first gave out this word is the action or reaction of matter. Ultimately, they have come out to say that this power is controlled by a power, this whole creation which is conscious. We are not going to believe there is one power which is greater, all these things. So the world is all in manifestation before us. There is no place where it is not. Why can't you see him? The question arises. He is subtlest of the subtlest. If you see through a microscope, what do you find? In the air, it now appears to be nothing. When you see through a microscope, that magnifies anything 700 times more. If you see it through, then you find that all this atmosphere is full of insects, microbes. Now, what happens is, if one eye comes to that level, on that is magnified, to come to our level of eye, we will be able to see. So these eyes of flesh and bone cannot see. When you rise above physical body, you begin to see. If man, in man body only we can know God, it is a golden opportunity in which we can know God. In no other body. So she says, while God is with us in the body, we see him not. Then he says, fight on a lifeless life like that, or to see every man in dark blind. So in man body, there's the highest aim before us, what to know God. And also what? Whatever seeds we have sown, karmic, that are to be paid out. How? By coming in contact with him, seeing that he is the doer, I am not the doer. If that is so, who to bear the reaping of the seeds we have already sown? Nobody. So Kavi says the entire world is groping in darkness. If it were a question of one or two, they could be set right. He says, I see all around, all are bright. The word blind in the terminology of the saints means not that man who has got no eyes on the forehead, but to the inner single eye not open to see the light of. How that is opened by the world made flesh masses? They just withdraw our attention from all outside and from the body below, take it to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes. When it is there, the single eye is open. You begin to see the light. Before going to such a master, we are blind. In the terminology of the saints, we are deaf. But when he gives us a sitting to withdraw our attention from all outside, we begin to see and begin to hear. So there are two kinds of worship I do. One is worship done at the level of senses. They are all called exotic, all called apra, which are done at the level of the outer faculty, mind or intellect. They are good actions, but that will give you good results because they are done in the name of God. But you are the doer, so you learn to read what you have sown. Coming and going is not ended. When your inner eyes open, you see He is the power, He is the creator, He is the permeating all creation. He is controlling us in the body. We are not the doer. Then our ego is lost. We? Who will bear the, reap the fruits that have, seeds that you have sown? Nobody. So that ends coming and going. So Guru Nanak said to the enlightened one, all are purblind. In that sense, you know, we are all blind. Very sweeping remark it is, of course. Why is it not? What Christ say, I have come to make those people see who do not see. What does he mean by that? And those who see, they may be blind. It's the same thing. We see, I am looking at you, because my attention is there. If my attention is down from there, nobody would not see. On the back, I cannot see. So it is the soul that has to know the oversoul. The eyes of flesh and bone see him not, but the master illumines the eye within. Open that eye. A worthy disciple begins to witness the power and glory of God within himself. That is function of the master. Give you something to start. And how may we drive your attention from all outside, bring you to the level of the eyes, where that symbolizes our third eye, our latent eye is opened. Now reason of here, why can't we see him? Because enveloped in darkness, we strive for God by deeds, not that dark. Without a master, none has found the way, nor one can go. The reason why? Because our whole attention identified with outer faculties and mind, world, body and world. Unless that will be drawn from there, then the eyes, inner eyes open, then we see that we come to this, that level. As I gave you the example of microscope, we become subtle, we begin to see the subtle form. That is why, unless when one comes across a perfect master, he begins to see and begins to hear. So this is that when man came to the world, God put seals on his eyes and on his ears. And when we are after our children, when we are in an unhappy state, he sends men, which are made flesh, world made flesh. They come to open the seals from the eyes and from the ears. They begin to hear, begin to see and begin to hear. So they open the eye where? Within the closet of the man body. But we draw the attention from outside and from the body below also. So body is verily the temple of God. And the Holy Ghost dwells in it. That is why Emerson said, tapping inside, going into the foxhole in the brain. We once you see the mark by President Truman. It was into his foxhole that he repaired whenever he wanted peace and relaxation from the high offices. That is receding within you. And there is complete rest. Their soul is revived with higher content. So Vedas called it a Brahmdurga. Fox of the hole in the brain are Brahmdurga. Perception, intention, and reasoning just help to understand the reality to a certain extent. Understanding, not seeing. At the level of intellect, but seeing is believing. Seeing with one's own eyes, the single eye of this intellect and ignorance is little known to the people at all. That eye is within us. That is called by the rishis as the third eye, as the Shivnetra, as the Divki cube, and Christ referred to as single eye. Mohammed himself called it Chashma Batak, inner eye. You follow? Truth is one. Those who have realized it, they gave out the same thing in the east or the west. That makes no difference. So we'll have to revert to the third eye, latent eye, Shivnetra, single eye. That's how we can see. God said there be light and there was light. You read in Genesis? And this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And the light is the life of man. Amongst Hindus there is custom when a man going to die, they light a candle put on the palm of his head. And the mantra that is read, that is in Sanskrit, that means this light will guide you here and hereafter. The hand and the candle both remain, which is that light, which is within you. That can be seen when your attention will drawn from all outside and your inner eyes open. So all scriptures describe rays of light vibrating with the music of life emanating from the formless absolute existence. When he came to manage the world in its variegated colors and countless shapes. So this pervades all four grand traditions of the world. Kabir says, I went to the way, pilgrimage to Makkah. On the way God met me and began to fight with me, rebuked me, who told you I'm here? I'm in you. You see, I'm the very life of your life. So the point is, in this master asks, have you seen God? Guru Nanak says, yes, I've seen him. He's manifested everywhere. It does not give any reason, because he sees, and maker sees. Christ was out. He said, behold the Lord. He never gave any reason for that. If we are not trying to let you know from the level of intellect, Kabir said, I was in doubt when I saw him with him, now I fully caught him. So Master, when they come, you see, they are, the message that they bring is that there is God. They have seen. And you can also see with your guidance. But whose God is? The God in him. He is what makes that. God alone can afford you a contact with God. Nobody else. So we respect that man body, you see, which is manifest and can do us that grace. So Guru Nanak was asked with what eyes you have seen. He said, those eyes are different with which he can see, not the eyes of flesh or bone. Muhammad process is that is the inner eye. So outer expressions of God into expression in light and sound. We can see him with the single eye, with the Divki cube, with the Shivnetra, third eye. Samastam rays. He said, what is it? Be able to see God with our own eyes. How can we convince that there is God if we don't see our own self? Be able to hear his voice with our own ears. And how that eye and ear is open, he says, close your eyes, you see darkness. Just penetrate into the darkness, and you'll find that. This is sort of giving a boost. Tulsi also said the same thing, that dharma within you, just look into the, through the eye beyond. That is saying. But he said, how can you can look through the dharma beyond? That's the favor of the mind. The God. So Balaram says, as long as you do not rise above this senses, life of senses, the world beyond is stranger to us. So all these things you will find, unless our inner eye is open to see here, we cannot be convinced. At the time of initiation, something came to start. Some more other slacks. That capital with which that you can start and dwell from day to day. Every saint has his part in his future. Take the example of a pond, a water, that's covered with wheat. You take out wheat one by one, little by little. Take out all wheat, and there are no ripples in the water, you can see your face. So first, this wheat is what? This physical body. This delusion starts on the man's body. When you rise above it, this is taking out the wheat. It is still the mind for a while, and you see the light. Very practical question. So all the delusion starts on the man body. Body is made of matter. Matter is changing at every moment of life. And the world around us is also made of matter. That is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing. As you are identifying with the body, whole thing appears to be stationary. It's an optical illusion. So first, how to take out the wheat from the world? Pound is rise above physical body. You can rise above your own self, very good. What more is wanted? A wise man wants to rise to see. If not, the word made flesh will give you little attention and you rise above and you see for your own self there is light within you. So there are three things, Kabir said. Oh man, you are considered the highest in all days, all creation. All have been created to serve you. If you have not seen God, on what account you boast? Your greatness is only there, why angels are asked to bow down to you. Because in man body, only you can see God. And you are not seeing God, then why you boast? You are the highest of all things. So he says it is a matter of not only saying words. God is there, God is great, God is high, God is light, God is that. This alone won't do. Unless you see for yourself, don't believe. One is seeing, then believing. And for that, what all masters prescribe, man know thyself. How to know yourself? We know only at the level of feelings or drag influences. They are both subject to error. Seeing is above all. The seeing rises only when you rise above body consciousness. And how to rise above body consciousness? You can do your own self and it's good. If not, with a little way up from the world made flashes that you may say hundreds, that you all have some experience. So if you do it accurately, with little heart behind, then you see more or less light. So there are three things required. One, a master who is world made flesh. Teachers are required in every phase of life. When child born, parents are the teachers, brothers, sisters. In school, they are teachers. In outward all subjects which you make to conversion with that, you need somebody who is expert that way. These are required in all subjects relating to outward faculty, mind and intellect. and the subject what can behold us is to know God. Where all world philosophies and there the religion starts. Religion means rim is back, eager to bind. To bind back our soul to God. Where all intellects have to understanding cease. Is there nobody required for that? Naturally. Who can you give a way up? How to rise above body? First thing. And then open the inner eye and you testify there is God. And what further thing is required? What the Master wants us to do? To have true living. Ethical life. Is stepping down to spirituality. Honest on all that does not get patience in us. Because we have to control passion, for that reason we have to restrict ourselves to strict vegetarian diet which is pacifying, flare our passion. And further, such a master will never engage you in the practices which relate to outgoing faculties, mind and intellect. And I submitted before there are two kinds of worship. One is called exotic side, the other is called esoteric side. One is called apra, the other is called para. One is ilmesina, the other is ilmesafina. So Master gives you the inner way, which you want to follow. The religions came into being only when the Master left the earth plane to keep their teaching alive. The labels of which we are knocking, can it? Some Christians, some Hindus, some Sikhs, some Mohammedans, some Jews. So basically it is inner way the same. So they give you, don't give you anything of the exotic side. They say already many ways you are, but rise above body consciousness. Your ABC of the inner way will start when you rise above body consciousness. Follow me? They say all the world is here. Manifestation of God. Where is God? Where is not? They are very conscious that they see God all around. Guru Nanak went to Mecca. He was lying at night with his feet towards Mecca, house of God. The servants over there rebuked Nanak. What are you doing? You're lying with your feet towards the house of God. He politely answered, well, dear friend, I see God all around. Wherever you think God is night, you may touch my feet towards that. A fish inquires, where is the water? He lives in the water. His life is very water. And still inquires, where is the water? It is something like that, like us. So Master said that all manifestation is the all God. And they see, they have seen God within this man body also, with the two temple of God. In which the light of God it can be seen when our single eye is open, third eye is open. We can hear the voice of God in music of the ears when we rise above physical body. So true temple of God is in man body in which light is lit and music of the ears is reverberating. And in all creation that the controlling power, keeping all control, creation or control or permeating our control, that is also keeping us in the body too. It is a wonderful house we live in. You see? It has got 9 doors. But we cannot run out of it. Some power is controlling us in the body. That is the power which controls our universe and controlling us in the power, the very God into expression power, the outer expression of which are two, light and sun. When you enter this man body, the temple of God, true temple of God, by tapping inside, by rising above body consciousness, then your eyes open, you see the light is there. Outer models are made after the model of man body. On the side, there is Muhammad saying too, Quran, the Muhammad also says so, God is everywhere. He said, my fathers, whenever the time of prayer comes, they should sit down on the earth. All earth is holy. All is holy where devotion kneels. There is no question, east or west. In the Quran says that God is everywhere. Whenever the time of prayer comes, sit down, let them. He is omniscient. He knows where are. He reads our hearts. You are sitting that way or that way. So this is the fate awaiting us. But first we have to see the temple of God. Rise above it and open the inner eye to see the light of God. When you see here, then you see all world outside like that. The question arises, can we see God? Have we seen God? The Master says, yes, we have seen God in this very man body. So why don't we see? Say, because mind stands between you and God within you. So first thing remains how to control the body. How to control the mind. Mind is, you see, very fond of enjoyment. Outer enjoyments can be divided into good scenery, good beauty. You see and use your attention. Good music, you hear, your attention will be drawn there. So that very thing, God has given that thing within us. And what is that? That is God into Krishna power, which has two aspects, light and sound. That is more enchanting, more bliss-giving. Once the mind has the taste of that, it leaves all out of its time. That is the water of life within each man. That is the bread of life. You give food to the body. Your body becomes strong. You read and write other things and you give food to the intellect. You become intellectually strong. What food you have given to the soul? Soul is a conscious entity. The bread of life must be conscious. That is only when you come in contact with God into His special power which is light in him. So, good questions. What is that way in which we can know God? You see, first thing requires such a master who has seen God. This also Gita, Krishna also says, if you want to see God, go to somebody who has seen God. Those who have not seen God, how can you make see God? Christ and our Master, Guru word means who can remove the veil of darkness from within you and give you some light. Who can open your third eye, single eye. So such like Master are few, have been few, and even now they are few, the world is not without them. He said, then what is the need? First need is what? Meet some Master. The masters are also, you see, everybody called the master nowadays. This macrocosm and the microcosm are the man body. In the macrocosm, we got three planes, physical, astral, and color. God has given us three bodies, and we are working in the physical plane with physical body. At the time, it is knocked down. We have got astral body to work through the astral plane. Then we got the causal body to work with the causal plane. When we rise beyond it into the super causal and the pure spiritual plane, such a master is required to go the highest of all spiritual planes. So whatever degree of the teacher you meet, if you go to the first plane, he can take you to the first plane. If you go to the second, after the second, third, you cannot take beyond. So such a master is required who goes beyond and also take you beyond. What is the criterion? First, who can open our eyes to see the light. Not by visualization, not by premeditation like that. by simply removing the dog from within you, give away up and you see that. Such a first required. This is what Kabir was saying. First required means Guru, Master. Well, seeing God, who can make us see. Christ said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. So what thought of teaching they give? They give us a teaching not exotic but the esoteric side. He said, where is the God? God is in the very core of your heart. He is the soul of the soul. He is the controlling power keeping you in the body. Otherwise you could have run away through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose. So such a master required who goes to the higher. This is the first step. Who takes the weed from the pond, bring you up the physical body. Then with the mind little still, you see the light. So, what we are in a grand delusion. What delusion is there, as I just submitted, the body is changing, made of being made of matter, and the world around us made of matter is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing, and we are identified with it. This delusion starts from the man body. We are the indweller of the man body, we now look from the level of the man body. And two things are changing at the same speed, and we are identified with it. We think ourselves, we are stationary. As you rise above body body consciousness, you see the world going the right perspective, you see. So all of you are this grand belief. They learn it and
okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Rudy Cascone. Are you there, Rudy?
Yes, I am, John. Thank you.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. Well, today's reading is from the book, Master's book, The Night is a Jungle, Chapter 8. The Thief of Life's Breath. This is the second part, which I read last time. So we begin with Master saying, with indescribable strength, the mighty Guru pulls the attention, and inside is the ever-existent Lord, described as Nam. By repetition of Nam, the light of millions of suns is apparent. There is light within, and the song of the Lord, that is, the everlasting song, is playing. The Guru gives a connection with this. That is his greatness, the God in him. And when his precious gift is given, it must be increased. When the taste for it grows, the lesser tastes will fade away. In the Bhagavad, a Vedic scripture, it says, not with repetition, nor austerities, nor by rites, nor prayer, nor scripture, not by giving alms, nor by pilgrimage. There are countless other things mentioned, and finally it says, not even by control of the senses can the jiva realize me as quickly as in the company of a realized person. The company of the Master is gained through great good fortune, and only in his company will the mind cease its perpetuation and be perfectly still for a while. Who is the Master? He is born in the same way as other men, taking on the human form, and we can daily see him eating, drinking, working in the world, and yet, Sod and the Lord, there's no fraction of difference, O brother. These are the words of Guru Arjan. So where does mastership begin? He who transcends the nine doors and goes into the beyond in full control of his whole being, he can know what the Master is. The nine doors, the two physical eyes, two nostrils, mouth, two ears, and the genital and excretory orifices. He who can withdraw his attention and go out through the tenth door at the back of the eyes is well on his way to becoming a realized soul. But where are we? Whoever has lived all his life at sense level and whose religious practices are on the same level can hardly be expected to have knowledge of rising above all these things. He will definitely get rewarded for all his good actions, but he will come again and again into creation, and as he considers himself the doer. These are the gold and iron chains described by Lord Krishna when speaking of good and bad actions. A true devotee of spirituality went to pay respects to a lady well advanced in this line. The talk turned to the visitation of good and bad days. The lady asked them to state the attitude of a person should have under these varying circumstances. One of them replied, "Good and bad should be borne with patience." The lady replied that there was pride in the attitude. The second said that one should take delight in both good and bad. The lady smelled pride here as well. They asked the lady to state the attitude, and she replied, "Soul should be so elevated that it feels no difference in good or bad. Salvation comes only through the holy Nam itself." In the Ramayana, it is likened to lighting a lamp in a hallway, whereupon the light will fall both inside and outside. This illustrates the effect of the repetition of Nam on one's inner and outer life. To repeat Simran is the first step. The appearance to the devotee of the one whom the repetition is for is another matter. If you haven't loved the Guru completely, you are not really near the Nam. The Lord within each one of us sees whichever of his children are yearning to meet him and makes the appropriate condition for them to come to the feet of one in whom he is manifested. It is a very rare privilege to meet a true guru, and yet those who meet him do not love him completely. Without a show, they touch his feet and sing his praises, but rarely do they obey his wishes. All masters tell the devotees to do this Simran and Bharshan. Azur used to say, "You people give one-tenth of your earnings, so you should also give one-tenth of your time. One-tenth of a day is 2.5 hours. Some sit for merely 5 minutes, some for a half hour, and many not at all. Others sit when the occasion fits their mood. If the connection which is given at initiation is not increased, what happens? The attention remains outward and does not withdraw and invert. A person may sit for hours on end, and others may think he is a devoted meditator, but inside he sees nothing. The face he shows to the world is white, but in the court of the Lord it is black. O brothers, awake. This is the time to understand what is what. The masters come, lift up their hands and shout to the world, 'O brothers, do your meditation, for without it you cannot be free.' It is said, 'Take the Guru's teachings, for without devotion many clever ones have drowned. Learning and high degree are of no use in this sphere.' There was once a very learned man who, upon approaching a river one day, asked the boatman to row him across. The boatman agreed, and when they were crossing the river, the learned man asked him, 'Have you had any education?' The boatman replied that he had received no education at all. The learned man remarked, 'Oh dear, you have wasted half of your life.' Halfway across the river, the boat sprang a leak and began to sink. The boatman asked his companion, "Did you ever learn to swim?" The man replied that he had never learned swimming, and the boatman remarked, "All your reading and writing is wasted here," and swam to the shore. Now, I'm not suggesting that no one should study at all. Education is good in its place, but if the soul does not learn to leave the body at will and has not derived intoxication from being drenched in the color of Nam, no amount of speech or action will achieve success on the spiritual path. Remember this fact, for it is clear and simple. The masters all explain the truth in very simple terms. The masters in truth say, make your meditation. Listen, open your ears and listen. He who has made his meditation has made everything. He whose meditation is not made will enjoy no meaning in his life's achievements. There is great purpose behind this emphasis on the importance of meditation. If your daily life is not under control, try to bring it in control or give more time to meditation, and you will be able to gain control quicker. He who becomes the conscious co-worker of the divine plan will find that his righteous life is made. Whatever he does will be performed righteously. He will not be able to act otherwise. The reason behind your failure is that you have not truly loved your master, but have merely made a show in various ways, physically or financially, or by lip service. There is no one who has sacrificed his mind to the Guru. Without giving up the mind, there is no success. The mind was sold to the Guru. This server's work was correct. Give the mind into his keeping. This physical form is the master's. This wealth is the master's. This mind has been given too. Those who can do this will receive the greatest gift. The receiver may be a Hindu, Muslim, Christian, etc., for all outer religions are mere labels. We are all simply human beings. A human being is a soul with a body, and the soul's caste is the same as God's. We are all the Lord's children, but unfortunately are going along in forgetfulness. And when we come to the Master, what does he teach us? This possessiveness has gone since I got the Master's company. There is no enemy, no stranger. All now are very dear to me. The change comes from within. We are human beings, but before that we are soul, the indweller of the physical body. Why is there so much dissension? When the people have right understanding, then peace will reign on earth. This is the only panacea for all ills. It always was and always will be. Whenever man forgets the truth, the unity already existent in all, then sorrow and misery descend. The most effective cure for all distressing conditions is to join the soul back to the Lord and realize in truth the unity that exists. Nam is the panacea for all ills. Nam is no mere outer expression or show. It is a term given to the all-knowing and ever-existent Lord. Nam is the sustainer of Khand and Brahmand. It is the God in action power which is controlling the whole of creation, Khand and Brahmand. And to be connected to that power means to meditate on Nam. Those who have meditated on the Nam, their toils shall end, and their faces shall flame with glory. Not only shall they have salvation, O Nanak, but many more shall find freedom with them. The most urgent work before us is being spoiled by slothfulness, all because the love for the Guru is not developed. Christ told his followers, If you love me, keep my commandments. We are also told, he who obeys the Guru's wishes knows what God is. But do we obey? If we would obey implicitly for 6 months, implicitly, we would see the magical change in our life's condition. You can get salvation in this very life. If the giver is there, where is the pain in giving? But unfortunately, the one who is supposed to receive the priceless gift is deep in slothfulness, sleeping or drifting away in the clutches of the senses. Those who receive something decide to put it away and ignore it. How can you expect the worldly condition to change if you are not changing? I will give you an example from the life of Guru Nanak, a disciple named Bhai Ajita. Once questioned the Guru, Maharaj, you say that some have had the fragrance of Sikhi, true devotion to the Guru, and some live under the protective roof of a true disciple. But there are some who taste the nectar from a true disciple. Please give me the darshan of these three types of followers. Now listen carefully to this story. Guru Nanak took Ajita to a certain house at night. Houses in those days were made with inner courtyards. The owner said to his family, there are some holy men outside, we must feed them. But they were very poor people with very meager fare, and they collected a piece of bread from each one's share, and with devotion offered it to Guru Nanak and returned to their places. Guru Nanak and Ajita passed the night in singing praises of God, and in the morning the Guru sent Ajita to tell the owner, we are leaving now. The owner replied, brothers, you are going? Then go. Who asked you to come? And as they walked on their way, Guru Nanak told Ajita, this man has had a little fragrance of discipleship. This type of person will listen. They will serve both financially and physically, etc., but they will remain where they are. You see, when someone gets a slight fragrance, they are ready and willing to do anything, and yet when they leave that fragrance, all their aspirations are forgotten. Ajita then said, Maharaj, I see this type of man every day. Now please show me one who lives under the master's protection. They went to a village and entered the house of a large family who entertained them and fed them with great love and devotion. When night came, they said, Maharaj, have mercy on us. How can we control our mind? We are pitifully imprisoned in this world. Show us the way to salvation. So the whole night was spent in listening to the advice of Guru Nanak until the sun rose at daybreak. When the Guru showed his intentions to depart, the family quickly cooked more food and packed it for their journey. As the Guru left, they pleaded for his grace and begged him to look after them and return soon to their home. So Guru Nanak explained to Ajita that this was the type of people who live under a true master's protection. How many people can you find who will spend the whole night talking about the Lord? Have you met anyone like that? Such people have hope of salvation. They may not go anywhere just now, but there is hope later. Ajita then said, but what about those who have gained the essence of truth from a master? And Guru Nanak promised to show him such an example. Some days later, they went to another house where lived a man, his wife, two sons, and a daughter, who were imbued with the love of the Guru. They all received and entertained Guru Nanak with respect and devotion. To show true devotion to a master is like showing it to God himself. The wife immediately retired to the kitchen to prepare food. Her son came running to help her, but slipped on the floor, fell down, and died. Of course she was distressed, but thinking of the karmic laws, attributed it to give and take, and then thought of the saint that had just come to her home. Resolving that the incident should not mar the occasion, she hid her son's body in the room under the covers of her bed, meaning to tell her husband only after the departure of the saint. Meanwhile, the husband had gone into the courtyard for something, accompanied by his younger son, who suddenly slipped, fell down, and died. The father then had exactly the same thought as his wife, and hid his son's body in another room, after which he continued devotedly to help prepare the meal. When the food was placed in front of him, Guru Nanak picked up the small daughter and, placing her on his lap, asked her, "Where are your brothers?" She replied, "They are in the lap of the Guru. In life, error, or death, we are all in his lap." Guru Nanak then picked up a morsel of food and put it into his mouth, but could not swallow it. He said, "It will not go down my throat. They have bound me by their love and complete surrender to the Guru." And turning to the father, said, "I want to meet your son, so kindly call them." The husband and wife both became alarmed, for both were concealing the facts and did not know what to do, but the Guru insisted. So the husband called the names of his two sons. At once, both boys came from their respective rooms where they had been lying. They told of their interesting sleep, during which both were held in the lap of the Guru. Who can imagine the joy in the hearts of the parents? Guru Nanak turned to Ajita and remarked, "Now this is the type of person who enjoys the very essence from the Guru's presence." This last example was one of true living, the kind of life that we must learn to live. You can see for yourselves where you stand at present, and the only reason for that position is the fact that you do not know how to love, to truly love the Master. Why would he who rises above the mind and senses try to keep you imprisoned here in them? It is the fervent wish of whoever has tasted the real nectar that everyone should enjoy the bliss. Meet the Master, my brothers, and take the true Nam into thy keeping. Tie this life's treasure to thee, here and hereafter. The treasure of the Masters has value in both worlds. So where does the negative power stand in this? The negative power comes in when we do not truly love. We do not obey, or we obey only as far as our mind agrees. This is what is called the power of negativeness. We even go so far as to give advice to the Master. At times, and Hafiz of Shiraz makes the startling statement that if your Guru tells you to drench your prayer mat in wine, then do so. Why? Would the one who has the intoxication of Nam wish to trap you in the worldly intoxicants? We should try to carefully understand the Master's teachings and what lies beyond them, behind them. Not waste time in intellectual wrangling and reasoning. When an officer gives the order to fire, the soldier must fire, and the responsibility of the decision rests upon the officer. So our duty is to obey and die if necessary. As long as the condition of our mind is not developed to this kind of obedience, we will not get the full benefit that the Nam has to offer us. The Guru is not ignorant of the pathways to spirituality. You have got the connection, then daily increase it. And if you learn to obey without question, the color of the world will fade and you will be dyed deep in the color of Nam. Disobedience results in being consumed perpetually in the fires of the senses, not only in this life, but hereafter also. When someone remarked to Lord Vishnu that he must be very busy, always preparing the hells, etc., for so many erring souls, He replied, "No, I do nothing. The souls bring their own fires and are consumed in them. We go through life strictly according to the inner condition of mind. The masters show a straight road out, but the worldly people object to it, being convinced that he is doing nothing but obstructing the fulfillment of their desires. The master come to give true understanding of life, but people chase him away, protesting that he has come to rot their roots by flooding them with water. They do not or will not understand the deep meaning of satsang, although in all religions it is stated that there is no salvation without Nam or word. It is already within you. You have but to be made aware of it. That person who is already all awareness can awaken you. He who has no light radiating within cannot show it to others. It is a work impossible to be accomplished by intellectuals or those learned in sacred scripture, etc. Get the full benefit of meditation and increase it day by day. The more you increase it, the nearer will you advance towards your goal. If you refuse, the day will come when you will be filled with regret for the lost opportunity. It is all a very simple matter of fact. An outer show of respect will achieve nothing. Learn to obey implicitly. This is the secret in a nutshell." And to fill in the remaining time, I'm reading from A Time of Trials, Karma. "Whatever good or bad happens to you through whatever person or object directly proceeds from our loving Father. All persons and objects are but tools in his hand. If an evil befalls you, think it as his greatest mercy. We have to suffer for our past actions sooner or later. Our Master, by taking us through these sufferings speedily and by hastening the approach of those which were to come later, intends to relieve us of our burden earlier. And by this early payment of debt, because debt it is, the amount of the suffering is very much lessened. We may have to pay one ton of karma first, but instead, by the grace of the Master, we are released and only pay 1 pound. So never be disheartened if you are made to pay some severe debt. It is all for your good. Suppose a man ill-treats you without any fault on your part. You should see in this ill-treatment the hand of the Master working. He wants to find out and to make known to you whether or not your self-reverence has died out and how deep has meekness and love taken root in you. Again, suppose a man loses his relative. It is to test the decrease in love of earthly relatives. Father wants to loosen these heavy chains which bind us down to this earth. More love towards earthly relatives means less with the Master. So all events which appear to be misfortune are not really so. They come to chasten us and add to our power of resistance and leave us better in the end. Be always resigned to his will. What Father does, he does for the best. In this world, those persons who are engaged in upward march have constantly to face the inroads of two powerful enemies, the mind and matter. They try to put many obstacles in our way. If an untoward event happens, we need not be disheartened. Rather, we should rise with redoubled love, and finally, victory is ours. Desire has abased the soul. When it desires something and fails to find the object of its desire, it feels pain. Therefore, abandon your desires even now and accustom yourself to be resigned to his will, the will of the Father. You'll fall from the window, my daughter, you truly say. There is nothing accidental here. Every misery or trouble that comes to us is the result of our own past actions. The sooner our debts to Kalpurusha are paid off, the better for us. Whatever befalls us is required, is regulated by the direct orders of our guru, and we should take it as such, as a blessing unexpected. Such obstructions are sure to come in the way of a satsangi, but we should not be disheartened by these acts of kalpurush. Rather, during such intervals, we should attend to bhajan with double zeal. Master is always with you and watching you and helping you in every action. Go on increasing love and faith in his feet by regularly attending to your exercises. He himself will look after your worldly affairs. Well, I'll leave you there and say thank you all for listening, and thank you, Master, for your words of wisdom.
Thank you, Rudy, for the wonderful reading. Today we had 75 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.